Welcome back, ghosts, ghouls, and things that go bump in the night. As you guys have probably already figured out, I'm a sucker for all stories, liminal spaces, or things that aren't exactly what they're supposed to be. So, when I found this story, you know I had to share it with you guys. So, sit back, relax, and tune in, for the only way out is through. Falling! I shouted as I let go of the rock. I sat back into my harness and braced myself as I careened away from the cliff face. My rope went taut, catching me and swinging me back towards the mountain. I bent my knees and absorbed the impact on the balls of my feet. I shook out my hands and stared up at the hold, thankful that the bolt connecting me to the mountain had held. "You good?" my brother Brad called out from below. "Yeah," I said, reaching down to chalk my hands before grabbing a nearby hold and continuing upward. It was far from the first time I'd been saved by my rope. I've been climbing for 10 years, and have taken more than my fair share of unexpected tumbles during that time. I continued up the face, clipping onto the bolts with my quick draws, until I reached a narrow overhang where I could sit. We were on a multi-pitch climb, which meant we had to take turns belaying each other as we climbed up the mountain. I double-clipped into protection, then called out the go-ahead for Brad to start climbing. I watched his technique, pleased at his progress. Brad had only been climbing for a year or so, but he was far more advanced than I had been, with a similar amount of experience. We were only halfway up the cliffside, but I could already tell it was going onto my list of favorite routes. I chanced upon this route while on a multi-day hike the previous year. A line of bolts going up the face had caught my eye, and I'd been planning to return and check it out ever since. "You doing all right?" I asked Brad. "I'm glad you came out here with me," I said. "Samantha would be happy too." He gave a forced smile, taking a swig of water. I turned away when my eyes swept over his wedding ring. Samantha, Brad's wife, had died in a tragic car accident just over a year ago, and he'd been taking it hard. Luckily, I'd discovered there were few things better for mental health than climbing outdoors. Brad and I climbed for several pitches, swapping the lead every hour or so. I had taken the lead when I looked to see the bolts ran beside an impression in the rock. As I approached, I realized the impression was a cave. I swung my foot out and stepped onto the mouth of the cave, then waited for Brad to join me. We shot each other a look as we took a few steps into the shadows. "You ever see anything like this?" I asked. "A natural cave in the side of a cliff?" Brad asked. "Nope, but I bet whoever installed those bolts had been climbing to reach it." I shot a look up and out of the cave. The bolts continued up the mountainside, out of sight. "No, the bolts keep going," I said. "Let's explore a little," Brad said. "Without caving gear?" I said. "And without telling anyone where we're going?" "I'm dumb, but I'm not that dumb." Brad nodded. "Fair enough. Next time, then." I reached into my pack and pulled out 2 bottles of water, settling them against the wall of the cave. "For on the way back down," I explained. We returned to the bolts, clipped in, and began to climb up the mountain again. I passed the next half hour or so in that state of both focus and relaxation that I've only ever experienced while climbing. "Hey, John," Brad shouted above me from the mountainside. "Yeah? There's another cave," he said. "Another cave? What were the odds?" I quickly climbed up the bolts, then paused with confusion as I stepped onto the ledge. This wasn't just another cave. It was the exact same cave we'd just passed a half hour back. I took a few steps into the darkness and picked up one of the water bottles I'd left down at the cave. Here they were, still cool. I held it up and turned to Brad, my face a mask of confusion. Okay, he said. Let's examine possibilities. We've only climbed up, right? Right, I said. And we've seen the same cave twice. The exact same cave, with the two bottles of water you left behind. Yes, I said. Carbon monoxide poisoning? He suggested weakly. It could be, I said. Carbon monoxide poisoning in the open air, though? With this breeze? Making us both see the same hallucination? Yeah, fair, he said, turning towards the darkness deeper in the cave. I'm gonna go check it out. I pulled out a far too weak flashlight and followed him into the darkness at the back of the cave. We stumbled over the rocks, moving slowly, to avoid a potentially catastrophic injury. Two paradoxical feelings stole after me as we moved forward. A nearly irresistible compulsion to move deeper into the cave, mixed with a deep sense of foreboding, like I was breaking into a stranger's house. The beam from my flashlight swung over something blue. I called out to Brad, then crept forward and knelt down. The blue I'd seen came from a jacket worn by a corpse lying on a pile of rocks. It had been a climber, still wearing his gear. He'd clearly been dead for years. His face was exposed, with pale skull poking through what remained of his papery skin. I quickly took two steps backwards. Let's get out of here and report this. Brad nodded and we returned to the mouth of the cave. Wait, he said, reaching down and picking up a rock. He knelt down and scratched a large X into the ground. When he was done, he brushed his hands against his pants and made his way to the bolts beside me. We clipped in and began to rappel back down the mountainside. It had taken us half an hour to climb up from that first cave, so it took just a few minutes of rappelling and switching to cover that same ground. My stomach settled as we approached, then passed the mouth of the cave. We didn't unclip, but I saw the X Brad had made in the ground out of the corner of my eye. Neither of us had said much, but I could tell the mood had lightened as we continued to rappel, switch, and rappel again. We paused a few minutes later. I was staring down at the ground, confused. We'd been rappelling for over half an hour, but didn't seem any closer. Two swaps later, I learned why. Down below us, the cave had appeared for a third time. We paused for a moment, staring at each other. We only saw this cave twice going up, right? Brad asked. Yeah, I said. Twice going up, now three times coming down. Let's get out of here, man, Brad said. We continued rappelling, not slowing down when we reached the cave for a fourth or fifth time. It was only after we had passed it a sixth that we paused and stepped back into the entrance to rest. Let's think, I said, tracing over the X Brad had carved, and for a moment, assume we're not both crazy. Brad leaned against the wall, wiping sweat from his forehead. No matter which way we go, the cave is always there. I think something wants us to go inside, I said, staring at the roof of the cave as it receded into the darkness. Brad didn't respond. He kept his eyes away from the back of the cave, away from the climber's body. So you felt it too, he finally said. It wasn't a question. I nodded. Yeah, I think something does. After a moment's hesitation, I pulled out my flashlight and began walking forward again. I kept an eye out and soon spotted the body of the climber, wearing the blue jacket again. We passed him without slowing down. The tunnel continued to level for about another 100 feet or so, where the rocky ground smoothed out along the walls, which made the walking slightly easier. We didn't talk as we continued. The compulsion to walk forward was stronger than ever, as was the dread I felt. A wave of cool humidity hit my face. This was perhaps the strangest thing. We were in Colorado, one of the drier areas in the United States. A moment later, the walls of the cave opened up to a large cavern. I couldn't see that it was a large cavern with the flashlight I carried. No, I could only tell by the sounds our footsteps and voices made as they bounced and echoed around the chamber. I walked forward slowly, scanning the ground with my flashlight. The floor suddenly dropped away to a massive hole in the ground filled with fog. I stepped forward and kicked a rock into it. It bounced off a few walls before the sound was too muffled by the fog to hear. "Screw that," I said. "Let's go back and see if we can figure something else out." Brad didn't respond. "Brad?" I asked, swinging my flashlight towards him. He was staring down into the pit, transfixed. "Yeah," he said, shaking himself. "Yeah, sounds good." We crept back through the tunnel, breathing a sigh of relief when we passed the climber's body. That sigh turned into a moment of horror when we passed the body for a second, and then a third time, with no sign of the cave's entrance. "We have to go back," Brad said. "What, and climb down a pit of pitch blackness with no protection of any kind?" I asked, my voice hoarse. "Either that, or we die of hunger like that poor bastard back there," Brad said, his voice strangely calm. After a moment of consideration in the dark, I agreed. We turned back around and soon found ourselves at the large chamber and pit once more. I shone my light at Brad, who clipped himself into the rope and held out the other end to me. "The only way out is through." "The only way out is through," I said. I clipped onto the rope, hardly believing that we were going to be climbing with our only protection being the finger strength of each other. The climbing itself began relatively easy, with large, well-spaced handholds and footholds. I would occasionally flash my light around, but the beam would only travel for a few feet due to the thick fog. Far below us, I began to hear the sound of rushing water. An underground river? I would normally have been terrified into stillness, if it weren't for the overwhelming compulsion to continue deeper into the pit. "Do you hear that?" Brad asked. I paused, listening hard. Brad was right. There was a noise far up above us. It was a muffled skittering. Whatever was making that noise was very large. "Samantha?" Brad called out the name of his wife. "Sam!" he shouted again. "Yeah, I'm down here. Sam!" He began to climb up toward the sound. I didn't hear anything that sounded even vaguely like a human voice. The skittering grew louder, now accompanied by what I can only describe as an octopus puckers moving over stone. "Brad," I said, my mouth dry, "that's not your wife. It's... Are you not hearing that?" Brad paused in the darkness. She says we should stay put," he said, "and keep calling out to her. Do you not?" I turned off my flashlight. "Follow me, and don't make a sound." We started moving sideways, away from where we'd been. Brad and I were still tied together, and I found myself tugging on him to pull him out of the way. The skittering suction sound grew louder and louder. I sensed, more than saw, a massive black mass pass over where we'd been hanging. The sound of wet clicking and slapping continued to echo, like suction puckerers passing over the stone. It wasn't a spider, whatever it was. I held my breath, trying not to make any noise when the shape suddenly began to move in our direction. "Brad," I said, "we need to move." I don't... Brad said, I don't think I can. I have to stay here. Hand me your flashlight." I reached over and pressed it into his hand. "Sam!" he shouted, turning on the light. His eyes were far away. "We're here! We're here!" He waved the light back and forth, illuminating the silhouette of a twisted, hulking creature through the fog. I turned away and started climbing down, using the sporadic light from Brad's flashlight, and almost slipping several times. My rope went taut. Brad was still above me, still waving the flashlight, not moving. The shape reached him. His voice cut off as a loud crunch sounded from the wall. Then, slowly, the rope tied to my waist began to pull me upward towards the creature. I looked down at the still unseen rushing water, fumbled at my waist for the rope, and unclipped it. I fell through the air for what felt like an eternity before impacting rushing water at the bottom. It swept me forward, filling my mouth and nose and tossing me around. I hit my head off stone, then crossed my arms over my face. My lungs burned. I fought it, but finally was forced to open my mouth and suck down water. I thrashed in the darkness and accepted that I was going to die. Then, suddenly, light. Light shone through my still closed eyelids. I swam towards it and broke through the surface of the water into the daylight outside. I was floating in a fast-moving river. I swam to the bank and half-coughed, half-vomited out the water I'd taken in. Then finally, I turned back and stared at the cliff. The bolts we'd used were visible, going up the side of the mountain. And there, near the top of the cliff, was the cave. And that, my lovely listeners, was The Only Way Out Is Through. I don't know about you guys, but I suddenly don't feel the need to go rock climbing or caving anytime soon. Anybody been to Colorado and maybe seen this cave? Either way, if you're thinking about going out, maybe stay away from a cave with a big X marked on the side. If you have any caving stories, liminal space stories, or really anything else that you think would be fun, go ahead and send it to me. You can find me at hauntedhorrorstorian@gmail.com or find me on Facebook at Haunted Horror Storian Podcast. Until next time, listeners, stay spooky, and remember, sometimes it's more than just a story.